if you could fire up the first picture. Dun, dun, dun. So here's my question. Hands up if this picture makes you happy. Be honest. Yeah, there's a few people. So yeah, come on, loud and proud. Get that hand right up there. Yeah, anyone else? So I see like six hands up. Hands up if this picture definitely does not make you happy, but instead fills you with dread. Okay, now don't worry, because you don't need to solve this one, because we're going to have a little quiz just now. So Ian, let's put the next one up, right? And what I want you to do is shout out your name if you know the answer. Eloise. No. Not two. You didn't shout your name out, Nigel. Anyone want to shout their name out quick? Iona. Minus two is correct. Well done, Iona. Now you have to shout your name out. Okay, you ready? Here's the next one. Here's the next one. Go for it. Oh, no, wait. Go up one. Go up one. Oh, yeah. Sorry. That's the solution. That's the solution. Yeah, that's okay. Right now. So here we go. On to the next one. It's getting a little bit harder. Shout out your name when you know what X is. Shout your name. Did I hear a name? Roy. Four is correct. X equals four. Let's see the solution. There we go. This isn't actually the way I would have done it, dividing them all by five, and then, yeah, there you go. But X equals four, right? You ready for the last one? I want to hear the names nice and loud, okay, for this. Like, here's the last. We're getting more complicated now. Go for it. You don't care. That's okay. Hopefully you'll care about the rest of the sermon. You don't really need to care about this bit. Do I hear a name? Colin. No, it's not six. Billy, three is correct. Round of applause for it. Let's see the solution. Here we go. There's the solution. Aren't you all feeling blessed and encouraged this morning? Let's get that off before people turn on me. I can feel the atmosphere in the room is turning against me quick. So I grew up really enjoying maths, and especially really enjoying equations. And the reason I liked it is because there is a right and a wrong answer. There is a problem before you, and if you learn how to follow the little steps and follow them through, you can solve the problem. And you can either know that you did solve it, you get a nice green tick on your jotter, or perhaps more often than that, maybe for this crowd, you get a red X on your jotter there. Now, I am wired. We're all wired differently, right? That's why I asked who loves that and who doesn't. We're all wired differently, and I am wired to love the clarity of that. God made me to love how, to me, simple and clear all of that is. Which is why I still sometimes wonder how it is that God has called me to be a pastor. Now, I know probably some of you are wondering that week by week. Why on earth has God called him to be a pastor? Yesterday was a day of reflection for me. It was the anniversary of my first day of full-time ministry. So 21 years ago, yesterday, I started as youth pastor through in the sports hall at the Youth Mission for International Baptist Church, as it was then. And I definitely don't find it straightforward, because being a Christian, certainly being a pastor, it's not about solving a bunch of equations. Sometimes I wish it was, you know, not solve for X, but maybe solve for G, you know, like capital G. Figure out who God is and communicate that to people. But that's not how God works. That's not how the Christian life works. You know, I wonder if you could flash up this verse. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. So we are the people of God called to wrestle together as to who God is and what he desires for us. And I've realized that I need help with that. Mike and Colin will know, for example, in a group meeting like an elders meeting, one of my favorite phrases that I will often throw out is, say more. Someone will point in a certain direction and I'll say more. Help me understand is another way that I often put it. I think I know what you're getting at, but bring it home to reality for me. What difference does this make? How is this going to change my day-to-day life? Now, all that being said, this is why I love it in the scriptures when something is crystal clear for us. We have this amazing book, this collection of books, God's very word to us, revealing the person of Jesus Christ. And it's not a straightforward book. It's written from different authors, different historical periods, different genres of writing. There are different levels of application. So we have to come before God's word humbly, reverently, and we often have to wrestle and grapple with what God is saying. And the depths of the profundity of this book point to the depths of the wonders of who Jesus is. So it's a good thing that it takes an eternity of searching and trying to understand the wonders of who God is. But friends, that doesn't mean that this book is not clear. It is clear. There is more than enough clarity in the scriptures for us to know God and for us to know what that means for us. So, we're coming today to conclude our journey through John's Gospel. It's taken us about 14 and a half months to get to this point. And as we conclude our journey, there's one very clear place for us to go. As you conclude something, you're wanting to get down to brass tacks, aren't you? You're wanting to know, okay, what was this really all about? What was the point here, John? What are these amazing 21 chapters all about? How are we to step forward? And John answers this so clearly for us, not like an equation, but so clearly, so beautifully, such hope, such help to be found. Some of you will know where I'm going to go. John chapter 20, verses 30 to 31. They're going to come up on the screen. I would encourage you, if you have a Bible, if you don't, there's some at the back, please feel free to take that with you. But do encourage you to, we're going to jump through a lot of different scriptures today. Try and follow along. Many of the scriptures will come up on the screen, but not all of them. John 20, 30 to 31. Listen to the clarity that John begins to conclude his gospel under the inspiration of God. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So John is pointing about these signs of Jesus, and he's not just speaking there about the signs, the various miracles that are recorded in John, but he's speaking also of the very sign of Jesus' life, his life, death, burial, resurrection. These signs, there are many that aren't written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. That is, he is the Messiah, he is the long-hoped one, the anointed one of Israel, who would come to rescue and set free and bring in the salvation for God's people. He is the Christ, he's the Son of God. And have we not, through the chapters of John, seen passage after passage where we look at the beautiful relationship that Jesus has with his Father in heaven, how he only does what his Father does, and We see how Jesus reflects the heart of God to us through these chapters in John's gospel. And it says that he is the Christ, the Son of God. And then that secondly, as you believe in Jesus as who he is, that you may have life in his name. Now we're going to look at what that life looks like. We're going to look at how John describes that life in just a moment. But first of all, as we think about believing in Jesus, I just thought we could share a little together. Now, it's a little different to do this, but, you know, this is much better than equations. We're going to actually just share a little bit of who Jesus is. I wonder if you could put up the next slide here, Ian. This is what I'm going to ask you, and I'm literally going to ask you to share a bit of feedback. It could be a verse. It could be a story. It could be a thread of what you've learned about Jesus through this story of John. If you're not sure, open up your Bible and just begin to flick through. But I'm wondering, just among us, what are the things that you have loved about Jesus as we have gone through this story through the Gospel of John? I have one thing that I'm going to share with you in just a moment, but I just would love to hear just a little example across the room. And even if you've not been part of this John study, I'm sure many of you will know
who Christ is through this gospel. What are the things that you have loved, believed, and loved about Jesus in the chapters of John's gospel? Please feel free to shout out.
Jesus wants us to follow him.
Oh, was that Dan last week? Brilliant. Jesus wants us to follow him. Amen. Thank you, Billy. Others? Say again? Yes. Yes. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, his humanity. Thanks, Ian. Others? Yeah. Amazing. Even in his darkest hour, he cared enough to pray for us. Wonderful. Beautiful chapter in John 17. Yeah, Iona. Jesus appears after his resurrection and has such grace for his, remember he speaks peace to his disciples who are frightened and yeah, precious. Thank you, Ion. Others, what have you loved about Jesus through this journey, through John's gospel?
I am the good shepherd.
I am the good shepherd. Yes, what a beautiful verse. Good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Others. Isn't that so lovely? The wedding in Cana. Happy that he rejoiced with people at the wedding in Cana. Yes, others. Yes, Jesus is the true vine and we are grafted in to the vine. Amazing. Thank you, Ryan. Yeah, Iona.
Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Precious. So wonderful. Again, so clear, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you. Others? These are great. What have you loved about Jesus through these months? Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, the voice of Jesus, helpfully highlighted for us in red letters sometimes. Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. Others? One or two more?
He's from eternal to eternal.
He's from eternal to eternal. In the beginning was the word. Yes. Amazing. Thank you, Nigel. One more.
He sent us our comforter.
Right. How precious is that? Thank you guys so much. It's so wonderful just to hear the various things, and I'm sure we could go on for a long time just celebrating who Jesus is. Remember, John wrote this gospel under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that you would believe in who Jesus is. And many of us have testified just now of things that we have believed about who Jesus is. Well, if you let me share with you, I had some time to prepare and think about this a little bit, and I just wanted to share one thing that I've loved about Jesus from this time. I have loved how we have seen his glory. We've seen his glory right from the start. We have this amazing reality in the first couple of verses that the Word was with God and the Word was God. In verse 14, it says, we have seen his glory. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We've seen his glory and the wonder that folk had at what he taught and what he said, how astonished they were. This is no normal person. We've seen his glory and the surrender that the disciples had. They had to get to that place where they acknowledged there was some of what Jesus said that was a hard teaching. Remember John chapter 6? Jesus says, are you going to go away too? They say, where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We see Jesus' glory in that. We see his glory in the amazing declaration of who he is at the end of John chapter 8, where he says, before Abraham was, I am. And so angry did that make the religious leaders of the day that they sought to murder him as Jesus shared this amazing declaration. I'm not just a teacher of God, but I am God himself. We've seen his glory in the beauty of his loving words and actions. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. What beautiful words. We see the glory of God in these words, do we not? Words like other words. I am the good shepherd, Roy. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. How he knows his sheep by name. Do you know he knows your name today? He knows what you're going through. He knows what's on your heart just now. How he knows his sheep by name and they know the shepherd's voice. Can you hear the voice of God whispering to you today? We hear words of promise of help. For example, in John chapter 14, where Jesus promises the helper, the Holy Spirit. He promises peace, not as the world gives, does he give to us, but as the Prince of Peace gives. He says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Do we not see the glory of God in all these things? We see the glory of God in his incredible acts of love. For example, his tears at the loss of a friend. We saw the glory of God as he knelt down and washed his disciples' feet on the night before he would be betrayed. The night that he would be betrayed. We saw his prayer before the Father in John chapter 17, where he prays for us that we would be united and that we would know this glory, the glory of God, that we would know this for ourselves. We see his glory even in his arrest, which he humbly allowed to happen, when the people came and said, I'm looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. And the soldiers fell back as Jesus announced those incredible words. We've seen his glory in the willing giving of his life over to death, even in the most horrendous of circumstances. We've seen his glory in his resurrection, even in his gentle whisper to Mary of her name, Mary, and her response, Rabboni. His miraculous appearing before the disciples, sharing those wonderful words, peace be with you, breathing on them to receive the Holy Spirit, his gracious response to Thomas, his wonderful restoration of Peter after he had betrayed him and denied him 3 times. They share breakfast together and Jesus restores him and sets him forward. And then we see the glory that John points us to even in the final verse of his gospel in verse 25 of chapter 21, where it says, there are also many other things that Jesus did, were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the whole world itself could not contain the books that would be written. I love it. What a way to finish. Hey, just so you know, there was so much more I could have touched on. The whole world could not contain the books. Such is the wonder and the glory of Jesus. This, friends, is the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then it says, as I mentioned, in John chapter 1, verse 16, from his fullness, the fullness of who he is, the glorious Son of God, from his fullness, we have received grace upon grace. What a God. So all these lovely things that you have seen of Jesus over these months that we have seen together, whether it's his glory, whether it's his power, whether it's his amazing teaching, whether it's his oneness with the Father, his kindness to those in need, his healing of the sick, his composure and wisdom before the sham of a trial that he faced, and on we could go. There are so many things that we could wonder at as we think about who Jesus is. This gospel was written that we would believe in who he is. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, we would have life in his name? Now, what does it mean to have life in Jesus' name? Well, again, this is a theme that has come up time again in John, and I just wondered if we could just take a little journey through and try and understand again, what does it mean to have life in Jesus' name? So please turn back to John chapter 1. The first thing we see, his life is light. Chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This first little picture of John trying to help us understand, what is this life? Well, it's the light of men. And then he goes on again. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We all know, regardless of our age, we all know something of fear of the dark. It is unsettling, especially if you're not in your own home or an environment you know. So every so often here, I lock up and it's pitch black outside.
And it's pretty scary, even though I know how to get to my car. But if you're somewhere where you don't know and it's pitch black, you can barely see your hand in front of your eye, there's a fear that comes, an unsettledness, and the relief then that flows over as the light comes on. Beautiful picture of what it means to know life in Jesus' name. Think of another way that light comes to us. Think of the beauty of the warmth of the sun on your face. Think also, another picture of light, isn't it, is the power of light. I don't know if any of you have been to see the movie Oppenheimer in the last couple of weeks, but you get a little glimpse just in one, yes, significant bomb, but nothing compared to the scale of this cosmos that the God speaks these stars into being. You see them in the movie. They cannot look. If they were to look without protection, they'd be done for. The power of light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness is not overcome. Look at John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." This is what it means to know the life of Jesus. It's like knowing wonderful clarity on what life is really all about, who God really is. That is what it is to know his life today. Second thing, chapter 3, please, John chapter 3. His life keeps us from perishing. Such a famous verse, John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but rather have eternal life." This world is not all there is. There is a judgment coming. There is an eternity, and that eternity for every single human being will either be held within the love of God, or it will be under the wrath and just judgment of God. And God desires, so clear, God desires for you to know life, that you would not perish, but know life forevermore. So much do we know that because he sent his own Son. So great was his love. Free yourself of the fear of eternal death. Know the life of Jesus. Thirdly, his life is like the refreshment of a spring of water. You know the wonderful moment where you're done in, you're exhausted, you're parched, and you get a fresh drink of cold water. To my shame, you guys know this about me, I'm not a great one for manual labor, I have to be honest. But last weekend, we were over at my dad's house. My dad's 80, and my sister and her family have been doing an incredible job getting his back garden sorted out. He moved house about a year and a half ago, and it was in a mess, so they've been working hard. And the Kingswell's Clarks were drafted in last weekend, minus Bethany, I have to say. She was working later in the day, to be fair. And we had to shovel a few tons, I'm not sure how many, but a few tons of little chucky stones across different parts of the garden. And because I'm so out of the habit of manual labor, I was just stunning. And every so often, I would sneak away and I would get my water bottle, which may have had Diet Fanta in it, but it was still fresh and cold all the same. And I would just take a drink, and just the relief that came in that moment from not having to shovel these little stones, but just to take a fresh drink, a cold drink, thirst quenched in that moment. So, so precious. Listen to what Jesus says about what his life brings us. Verse 13 of chapter 4. Jesus said to the lady at the well, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again." I kept having to go back in for another drink. "Everyone will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." We're all thirsty for something in this life. Our lives thirst. Our lives want to know that thirst
quenched. And we search for that in various different ways, don't we? Friends, John chapter 4, it is in Jesus that our thirst is satisfied. Infinitely more precious than the freshest, coldest water in the most difficult of circumstances. Come to Jesus today. His life is like the perfect eternal quenching of thirst. Next one, his life is like the perfect nourishment we need. Thinking not now of a thirst quenched, but a hunger that needs to be satisfied. Think of that moment when your blood sugar runs low and you start to feel sick and you feel that you're going to faint. And you realize it's because you've not eaten enough, and you need that nourishment. You need that sustenance. John chapter 6, verse 27. All that the Father gives me will come to me, Jesus says. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come. Sorry, I think I'm at the wrong. I am at the wrong bit. Forgive me. I'm okay. John chapter 6, verse 27. Where was I? I was verse 37. Okay, verse 27. Verse 37 is good as well, by the way, but 27 is where we're at just now. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. And then jump down, please, to the second part of verse 32. He gave them bread from heaven My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. Knowing Jesus' life is like knowing true nourishment from God. One of my friends, friend of the church in some ways, Simon Dennis, pastor over at Sheddixley. He's going to be speaking at our Hillview weekend away in September. One of his phrases when I've spent time praying with Simon, he's prayed for me and for us as a church that we would know the fresh bread of Christ, that we would know day by day the fresh bread that Jesus has for us, fresh nourishment to get us through day by day all that he has for us. His life is like perfect nourishment. Next one. His life is abundant. Light, water, bread, nourishment. And then he just says it so explicitly in John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. It says, I am the door, Jesus says. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. When I was growing up in school, there was a very famous advertising campaign by Pepsi Max, and the phrase was, live life to the max. And so many youth events I went to used John 10:10 as a verse, and they said, live life to the max. Jesus has not called you to a dull, boring, meaningless existence, but he has called you to know the abundance of his life, life in all its fullness. He has called you to a wonderful purpose and existence in Christ. His life is abundant. Three more to look at. His life, next one, means safety and protection. John chapter 10, verse 27 to 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. And then listen to this security that we can hold on to. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. When you know the life of Jesus, nothing can take that away from you. What hope and peace there is in this verse. Because we all struggle, right? We all, to varying degrees, Even those who have known of the love and the goodness of Jesus, we all know what it means to lose that sense of our first love, to lose our joy and our peace and our contentment in Christ. You know, we have these journeys through life, don't we? And it's so wonderful to know that life in Jesus means safety and protection. Nothing can take you from the Father's hand in Christ Jesus. Not doubt, not sickness, not depression, not betrayal, not financial ruin, not loneliness, not anything that has been done to you or that you have done. You are held. You are safe in the very hands of God. Know His life today. You're His. You're His. You're His. This life, next one, Ian, thanks. This life will be ours for eternity. If you'll allow me for a moment to jump out of John's gospel to another book that under the guidance of and inspiration of the Holy Spirit that John wrote, to Revelation. If you turn to the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 5, we see how this beautiful picture of the life that God has for us in Christ will be known for us into eternity. I'm going to read from the last chapter of the Bible, verses 1 to 5 of chapter 22. Then the angel showed me, this is the revelation that John was given, same person who wrote the gospel, showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Again, we have this beautiful, stunningly awesome picture of the bounty and the goodness and the clarity and the peace that will be ours living in the life of God forevermore. And then we have the call to Jesus right at the end of the scriptures, verse 17 of this chapter. The Spirit and the bride, this is the church, say, "Come, Jesus. Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. He's coming soon, dear friends. And we need to always remember that reality. And we need to pray for that longing to come within us. Yes, Jesus, I know your life now. Thank you that I know life in your name here and now. But oh, how I know I need to know the full and final and complete and eternal fulfillment of that on that last day. Come, Lord Jesus, and help me know the wonder of your life forevermore. Last one. This life is ours through Him. It's all found in Him. It all comes back to Jesus. He is the beginning and the end of what it truly means to know life. Jesus Himself said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." He said in chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He prayed in John chapter 17, verse 3, "This is eternal life, that they know you, Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." This is what it means to know life. It all comes back to Jesus. So, what a gift it has been to journey through this gospel. And it's so clear what it's about. this book was written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So I have a question and an invitation. This is where I started some 14 months ago and I finish here. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? That's the question. And then the invitation. If so, know life in his name. Step into the life in Jesus that is yours through all that he has done for you. And I want to encourage you, if you know that you believe, if you know that you have life in Jesus, if you've not been baptized yet, I want to encourage you to get baptized. We are planning, God willing, to have a baptismal service on the 27th of August. I would encourage you, if you've yet to be baptized as a believer, to go through those waters of baptism. A wonderful, incredible picture of stepping in to the reality of, yes, Jesus, I am yours and you are mine. If you're already baptized and following Jesus, drink afresh today. Find nourishment again in the fresh bread of Jesus. Know that from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Marvel at his goodness, his glory, day by day. And then, of course, reflect that glory to the world around about you. As his light shines on you, position your life in the way you speak, think, talk, interact on social media. Position your life in such a way that the light of the life of Jesus Christ would be reflected to our family, friends, neighbors, communities. May we know, as the community of faith here in Hillview Community Church, may we know the life of Christ in us, working through us day by day. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the clarity of your word. Thank you for this Gospel of John, which was written that we would believe that you are who you say you are. Thank you for the wonder of who Christ is. And Lord, I pray that as we think about that now, as we think about that this week, that we would know what it is to have life in his name. Thank you for these many different pictures of what it is to know the life of Christ among us. Father, I pray for anyone who's fearful that they would know the protection and the safety and the clarity that comes as your light shines. I pray for those who fear that they have wandered away from you, that they're too far gone, that they would know that those who the Father has given are safe and secure in Christ. Lord, I pray for those who are feeling at the end of themselves, that they would know the refreshment of Jesus, that they would know the nourishment to get through another day. As they pray for their daily bread, that they would find that in you above all else. Lord, I pray for anyone who is not sure yet whether you are who you say you are. I pray that the warmth of your light would shine even in this moment. They would feel it. They would feel your presence here. Hear your word and respond. And Lord, I pray that as this family of faith that we are, I pray that we would know your life and then shine that light of your life to those around.